What's your little snack? What do you got? What do you? Is that broccoli?
It's broccoli.
It's a lovely piece of broccoli.
I've been eating this for the last hour. You wait till we start recording to make fun of me for it?
I haven't seen you eating it. Have you ever seen Drop Dead Fred?
Yeah, you showed me it.
Oh, I did. There's a particular scene where he makes fun of her for growing up, and he said, "You took a piece of broccoli and you ate it." And you went, "Ooh, what a lovely piece of broccoli!" And then he "It's disgusting," he said.
It's just... It is a lovely piece of broccoli. I made this for you when we were living together.
I know, and it is good.
In Brooklyn.
It is good.
And then you were is that just a piece of broccoli that you put in the oven? I was like, yeah. Has it got anything on it? I'm like, salt and pepper. Does it need anything else? And then you laughed, and then you had a bit, and you were like, yeah.
It's yeah. Good. No, no, it's a good snack. It genuinely is a good snack.
Yeah, it's nice. It's delicious. What are you drinking?
Okay, so I was out of Coke, but I had some seltzer in the fridge. So I have a whiskey seltzer, but I have a new favorite coffee drink. There's a queer coffee shop near us that we went to that makes an espresso tonic. And I've never had one before, like about a week ago. Okay. And now that is my coffee drink, like for the foreseeable
espresso
future.
Tonic? That sounds nice.
It's, yeah. So they make it. They make it. I've seen some recipes online because, of course, I had to learn how to make it myself because I love it. And I'm not going to spend $6 every morning on a coffee. So they make it with orange bitters, simple syrup, and espresso and tonic water. I don't own orange bitters. So what I did was a couple days ago, I made a batch of orange simple syrup. Then I used my regular Angostura bitters, the orange simple syrup, and then tonic water and espresso. And it is so good. So I had a little bit of orange simple syrup left over. So I dumped that into my whiskey seltzer. And it is
huge.
Delicious. Yeah, so good.
That's good.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Dirty Shirley with a twist. The twist is that we don't have any lemonade in the house, so I'm just using Dr. Pepper instead. But it's all the same stuff, which is we've got the... Because a Dirty Shirley is vodka, lemonade, and with maraschino cherries and fucking grenadine, right?
Is that what a Shirley Temple is?
That is what... That is what Haley, who taught me how to do a Dirty Shirley, says that that's what
maybe,
it is.
Dirty Shirley was a Dirty Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it lemonade?
Or like Sprite or whatever.
Oh! Ginger ale.
Oh, it's ginger ale, is it? Well.
But it can be okay. Sprite. It can be Sprite. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I get... Okay. All right.
But I have Dr. Pepper instead because we don't have any Sprite.
You have Dr. Peppers.
Because I've been drinking all of the... We've just been drinking Dirty Shirley since I've been here. So we're out of Sprite, unfortunately. Yeah.
Love that.
So that's what I'm doing.
Spectacular. Well, fucking cheers.
Cheers,
You overcame a lot of technical difficulties to be here. And I'm so proud of you. And I'm so happy that we get to record.
Here's the thing. So, we recorded last episode 2 weeks ago. We did it at the top of the week last week. Top of the week 2 weeks ago. And then we're like, okay, 2 days' time, we are going to record the next episode, which is Citadel 2. Because I was like, it's like an hour-long mission. You have a little more to do, though. But then we couldn't make that recording. I then traveled because I'm going to Gen Con and then we're going to fly to Brooklyn for a few weeks. And then we were going to record on Wednesday. I had a horrific panic attack on Wednesday, so I couldn't. And then we were going to record Friday, and then you were antsy because you wanted to dance. You didn't want to sit down and record a podcast. You wanted to go out and dance.
I had a bad day on Friday.
We were like, can we do Sunday? And then we did today, and we had an hour of technical difficulties. And I was like, if I don't record today, I'm going to go fucking
I'm
going to
crash out. Yeah.
Fucking insane. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I was sitting here drinking my drink, being like, am I drinking this drink for no reason?
It's might 5 p.m.
It is now 5 p.m.
There we go.
It is now 5 p.m. Very proud.
Sure.
Okay. So, hi, my name is Dylan. I have played 2 Mass Effect games.
Hi, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. Welcome to Dorkspawn. This is a show where we play choice-based video games and then talk about them like a book club. We're doing Mass Effect 3 at the minute. It's the best game of all time.
Ooh, it's a good game. Oh, Jesus, it's a good game. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's a good game.
This one's crazy. So when I originally played this, 17, 18, I think, when this game came out. So utterly and completely forgot this plot point to the point where I think that I never registered what happened in Citadel 2.
Citadel 2 priority plot
and
point?
And how fucking massive it is as the like, franchise... this in this trilogy... How huge Citadel 2 is, I never registered it when I was a kid.
Huge. Okay. So, you know what? Before we talk about Citadel 2, let me talk about, because we didn't talk about it because I didn't do it last time because I just did. And now if you remember, dear listeners, the last episode was an emotional episode for me. Because Morden Solis sacrificed himself to save the Krogan and to... undo the genophage. I did the Turian rescue. I did not rescue the Krogan team, the scouts, until this past week.
Yeah.
So I did that after Morden Solis died. Now, for this, we go to go looking for we get the nav points, we get the coordinates for the last known location of the Krogan team, the scouts that are missing. Mm-hmm. Go there, land, guess who's fucking there?
Your fucking boy.
It's my fucking boy.
Your son.
It's Grunt, and he is doing great. He's the leader of this group of scouts. He's doing incredibly. I don't remember if he talks about it here or if he talks about it in the letter that he sends me afterwards, but regardless, Rex was like his mentor and got him through kind of that, like the Krogan coming of age rituals. And now he is like considered fully Krogan. And he is not just fully Krogan. He is a leader. It's awesome. It's excellent. He is such a fucking dude, and he loves Shepard so much. It's so great. So,
and this this team is built of one of every clan. It's like the best fighter from every clan has been forged into this team. Grunt, considered the best of the Krogan, has been put there to lead them all.
Right, the Arlok Company, and they are just the best of the best. It's incredible. So we have to go looking for these missing scouts, and as we meet Grunt, we meet his company. We get like a kind of directive, and it's like, all right, we need to like find our way into this area. And as I'm looking around, like right away, I feel like I was just sort of looking around. He was like, hey, supply up. and then, like, you know, take what you need and then meet us. And I'm like looking around for stuff. And almost immediately, like, the building we're in just, like, totally fucking collapses.
Yeah.
And we land underground. We're separated from Grunt already.
Yeah.
And we're underground. And now we are coming across, at first, like, tiny Rachni, like, baby Rachni we're seeing, like, scattered all over the place. But we are coming across an increasingly, as we go further into these caverns, number of, like, egg pods of Rachni. Mm. And mm-hmm. there's, like, a few at first, and then there's just, like, as you get, like, deeper and deeper in, there are just fucking hundreds of these Rachni egg pods. And if you don't shoot them right away, if you damage them and don't kill them, they explode into a baby Rachni, and that baby Rachni, like, yeah. comes out and attacks you. So you've got to, like, you have to take out all these pods. It's pretty brutal, to be honest, especially considering that we both, right? The Rachni Queen go in one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making our way through there, and occasionally we do come across, like, husks and other Reaper enemies. And then we come across some bigger Rachni also, at different points. And let me think if I'm missing anything. As we are going, we are also coming across, tech that has blocked the pathway to get further in.
These, like, giant wall shields that are popping up. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to dismantle all of the Reaper tech that's in here so that we can actually keep going in and get to, the Krogan.
And we're also, trying to find out what is causing, because these Reaper Rachni, we're trying to figure out what their deal is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At the same time as trying to get to the Krogan, I think the Krogan are like, we'll just meet you there, get to the center of this thing. Yeah.
They are, but then at points, Grunt will call in and be like, my team can't get further past this. You have to disable this.
You do this, and then we can go.
And then we'll have to do that. As we are disabling the tech and we get further in, eventually we do come back and meet the Rachni Queen.
Yeah.
And she is the Rachni Queen that we let from go. One. It's her.
Yeah.
But she is literally bound to this mm-hmm. place. And she's under the influence of Reaper control. And she is like, you have to free us. You have to set the last, undo this last. Apparently, like, all these things have not just been, like, barriers. They've also been locking, like, the Rachni in this place. So she's, you have to undo the last shackle and we will get out of here. We do not, you know, like, we don't want to be doing this. We are under
their control. Yeah, she's like, I am the same as I was when you first met me. I don't want to be doing this. I've been forced to do this.
Yeah.
Like, the Rachni that I'm birthing are immediately getting indoctrinated and getting cybernetics. Like, they're wrong, and I have no say in this.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, if you let me go, it won't happen again. Like, I will stop doing it. Which is interesting because that's the same thing that she promised in one, and then she pretty immediately went back into Reaper control.
And I mean, the Reapers, like, targeting the Rachni is, like, such an interesting theme. I think it's kind of meant to be because they can make so many of them. And it is like,
yeah,
a,
they just keep
like if they can indoctrinate the Arachni, they can make a million Arachni. It's kind of the same as why they wanted to indoctrinate the Krogan, because the Krogan, yes, mate so much, and
because the Krogan and the Arachni are always brought up in the same conversation, because the Krogan were brought into spaceflight by the Salarians to fight the Arachni, they were the best at killing Arachni. But both of them have like high breed rates. They're both considered dangerous by a lot of people in space. It's just that the Arachni at that time. That's a thing that the pair of us know, because we did the beginning of Leviathan, but it's not a thing that generally we have talked about in canon.
True. But we'll talk about that more like, when we do that whole thing.
The Arachni were hopping planet to planet and, you know, like harvesting everything, and then the Krogan wiped them all out, and then they needed a solution to the Krogan, so then they invented the Genophage. So it's just interesting, like, the pair of them are, like, kind of two sides of the same coin.
Definitely.
One considered more sentient than the other, even though the Arachni have proven themselves to be sentient.
Right. So now we have a big choice, and that choice is presented to us. Now, after last week, I was pretty traumatized, and unfairly, a picture was taken of me during the next sequence of things as I was playing, where I thought I was safe on my living room couch.
Yeah, I've seen this. Very good.
You have. It was sent exclusively to you, I think.
Yeah.
Where, so now the choice is save the Arachni queen or save the Krogan squad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is that the choice? I deliberated for so much time on this. And I ultimately I was like, okay.
Because it's not a save, it's a you leave the Arachni Queen.
It says to, save.
It does, but the canon thing is that you're abandoning the Arachni Queen to her fate to go help the Krogan.
Right.
Or you're going to stay here, help the Arachni Queen, and hope that the Krogan can be saved.
Right. But because of the way it was phrased, I was like, is it like Arachni Queen dies versus Krogan squad dies? Like,
yep.
Ultimately, the Arachni Queen was imprisoned and enslaved, and my thought process was, this is a team of the best of the best Krogans led by the best Krogan. I have to unshackle her. So I unshackle her. She escapes. I escape, but now we've linked up with the missing scouts, and Grunt has rejoined us. We are shooting our way through now, not just indoctrinated Arachni, but also now Cerberus, and stuff. So we have a lot of shit to fight through. And Grunt, at one point, what does he say? There's a moment where we have like a kind of a limited time to get out. There's like a bunch of, there's a horde of people coming, and Grunt is like, I'm going to hold them off while you get out.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, Oh, hold on. Wait. Rewind about an hour's worth of gameplay ago, because when we split ways with Grunt and his team, we say good luck to Grunt, and he says the best line, I think, maybe in any franchise ever, and he says, I don't need luck. I have bullets. I have ammo. I don't need luck. I have ammo, is what he says. My fucking guy. Unbelievable guy. Incredible guy. Anywho, fast forward. He says he's going to hold him off. No big deal. We get this unbelievable cutscene of him single-handedly fighting so many enemies and getting swarmed. This is where the picture was taken of me, because I was like, if they kill Grunt, I think I might become an alt-right member of society.
You're in the pipeline immediately.
I'm in the fucking pipeline.
Grunt died because of the LGBTQA.
Yeah. It was because I identify as queer that Grunt died, and I need to join the hateful side. I just was so upset and stressed, and he gets like exploded into this tunnel system with all of these like Cerberus kind of overwhelming him. We get out, we escape, and then after a few long moments, he emerges from the dust.
He busts out.
Totally fucking fine.
Just soaked in blood. The true Krogan hero he is.
Apparently, if he was not loyal to you and you choose the Rachni Queen, he dies. Yep. If you didn't help the Rachni Queen in one, and you still free her, she doesn't successfully escape.
Because you kill her in one, and in this, she's a full Reaper.
Right.
She's like, it's not the same
she's
character.
She's fully it indoctrinated. Is a it's a different Reaper character.
That is still pleading to be freed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So interesting. So I was like very relieved by that, obviously. But I was very stressed during that sequence. So that is that little mission. Incredible. And then,
it's a great one. It's so fun. It's why I was like, hey, please. It's why I was so sad if you hadn't have done it.
Oh.
Like, if you couldn't do it anymore, it's why I was so bummed out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm so glad. That was a great mission. After that, I'm a little bummed. I had a mission that I knew was time locked, and I was trying to do it. It was the mission that you get from Bar Levan, the little guy at the bank on the Citadel.
Okay, yeah.
I went to where the location was in the description of the mission and couldn't find it. I scanned the whole area. It was telling me it was 100%.
That's a priority to Chunker. It has to be done before then mission.
I heard it had to be done before Citadel.
Oh, I mean,
I heard it had to be done after priority to Chunka.
Oh, okay. One sec. Let me reopen the thing I just did.
But either way, Bar Levan is gone now.
Yeah, this is the Mass Effect wiki. This mission must be completed before launching priority to Chunka.
Interesting. Okay.
Intervening events will reshape the Citadel's contents before you can visit. One of which is Bar Levan being absent from his post going forward. So there you go.
Well, whoops. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. I went, let me go check in on people at the Citadel and maybe see if I come back to this area. Yes. It'll be there. And then Citadel 2 just happens when you go to the Citadel next.
Yeah, you go and you find out that it is being fully raided by Cerberus.
Oh, it's in flames.
I forgot that this happened. I've played this game easy into double figures. All of it was when it launched. I would sit down, play Mass Effect 3, credits hit, I'd restart Mass Effect 3, I'd play it through. Blah, blah, blah. I completely forgot about this. It's been a decade since I played it. I forgot that that Cerberus full launched a Dintac on the Citadel. That's crazy.
And the thing is that what we get, which is why I didn't anticipate this being like a you arrive and the city's on fire, is because what we get is that our Solarian contact is like, hey, something's up with Udina. I think Udina might be a security threat or something. I thought we were going to go there and like talk to someone and trigger a new quest. Like, I didn't think it was going to be what it wound up being.
Yeah.
And then it was just you click, go to the Citadel, and it's like, you can't enter. Oh, right. It's like Joker's like getting no response when he's trying to enter Citadel airspace.
Yes.
They're like, there's no way for us to land, and so we have to, like,
because
sneak in.
Because normally when you go to the Citadel, there's another person on the end who's, like, doing the mechanic is, like, what area do you want to go to on the Citadel? And then it immediately teleports you there rather than you just getting at the docks. But then it's the same cut to her, but she's not there, and then it, like, slow... And then it doesn't pan or anything. You just see a Cerberus person walk past, and you're like, oh, shit. What is happening? But yeah, you forcefully dock and start immediately executing people as soon as you land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cerberus has taken over CSEC. They have. They are just fully going to war with the Citadel, blowing up a bunch of stuff. It is immediately known that they are going after the Council and are going to kill every member of the Council.
Right.
That's their main goal.
Yeah, this is the first time in a while in one of these games where I died a couple of times in the beginning of this mission.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I got overwhelmed. You know what it is? Both times that I died at the top of this, I got grappled.
Crazy. Like, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, there were just so many enemies around, especially like in the beginning of this, that it was just like I was shooting... And I didn't know someone was coming at me from the side, and I got grappled and, like, strangled to death. Yeah.
So we find out that Cerberus is going after the Council because we speak to Commander Bailey, who is our contact at CSEC. He was in Mass Effect 2. He was in Mass Effect 1 as well, but at a way smaller role in Mass Effect 2. He's, like, our CSEC contact. In this, he is the chairman to Udina. So, for me, Counselor Udina is like, you know, doing all the stuff and too busy to speak to people. And then you speak to Bailey instead. In this, he gets shot and is dying and is like, oh, this is what's happening. They're after the Council. I'll be fine. She turns out that he ends up being okay. But yeah, then you... I'm lucky when it comes to, like, the grapple things because of the way that my class works. I'm moving too fast. I'm teleporting every few seconds.
Right, you're doing their teleport stuff all the time.
And I can't be touched.
I upgraded my gun for the first time.
Huge.
I have a fancy scope. I also bought new armor. I realized that I've been spending all of my money on fish and ship models for the majority of this game, and I have like a million credits. So then I just went and bought so many fancy things for my favorite gun and fancy armor. So I'm good now.
The perfect way to play the video game is like getting to a point where you're like, man, things are getting tough, and then realizing, oh, I haven't been using this one prime mechanic, and then walking into a fight and being the most juiced you could possibly be because you've been saving your money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you You fight your way through the Citadel. Great moments in this. You're like in areas you've been to 100 times. Very
End of Dragon Age Origins when you're going through Denerim at the end.
Denerim. Very Denerim. Very Denerim. Killing a lot of guys.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Devastating
really cool.
Because also you are seeing dead like bodies everywhere.
Civilians. Yeah. No, it's truly, it's crazy. And so there is a very interesting thing with this mission that I don't think either of us got. There is a huge amount of this mission that is very, very different if you speak to Thane at any point in Act 1. Because he is in the hospital for being ill and is around when Cerberus attacks the Citadel. So he is popping up and assassinating people. He's running through the vents. He's doing crazy. He's your main contact when you're going through and you're like, oh, there's stuff happening. He's like, yeah, so this is happening. There are people coming through this door. You know, I'm unlocking this area. Come follow me. But I didn't do that. I didn't speak to him. Did you speak to him?
No, Thane is dead for me because of my save file.
Horrendous.
It is Thane. I looked it up. It's Thane. What is her name?
Jack.
Jack. And there's a third one.
Okay, who is... Okay. It's not Morden, obviously.
Nope.
Is it Legion? Is it Tally?
I think it might... Who is the one that was supposed to intervene... And with the...
Oh, Kazumi.
Kazumi.
Yeah. Okay, yep. So those three are dead.
So it's
everyone else is alive and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. Thane talks to you throughout a lot of this mission. If you've spoken to him, I didn't speak to him beforehand.
Fascinating.
So he wasn't around in this mission. In the same capacity that he wasn't around for you. But he does significantly change the end of this mission as well, which I think is fun.
Right.
The end of this mission is something that I personally haven't... the one that I experienced this run is not one that I've experienced before. Because I'm going to say to my discredit, I don't really... Every single time I play this game, which again has been a lot, I don't really change what I do. I just kind of do the same things over and over again because I like it so much. This is the first time I've ever not spoken to Thane before this mission has happened. Because I remember walking through and being like, I swear that Thane was around, but he has never been, but he wasn't this time. And I was like, oh, okay, weird. Anyway.
Okay. Well, so speaking of assassins, though, this is a thing that happens as you're flying in, actually, that we kind of, or maybe it's just me, but an assassin, as we're trying to sneak into the Citadel, jumps onto our ship and tries to take us out of the air.
Yes, he does do this at this moment, yeah.
And
well, So you go to the Salarian counselor. You're speaking to the Salarian counselor. He then manifests, kills the Salarian counselor,
and then
you chase him in the chase.
It's not when we're sneaking in. It's like right after. Yeah. Okay. Yes, you're right. So we have this chase scene where we are being attempted assassinated by this guy who, by the way, is fucking cool. Is
Kai Lang.
way too fucking cool.
Yeah, Kai Lang is really cool. Kai Lang is interesting as well because he's a exclusively book character at this point. He has been in all of the books, and then they finally put him in. And there was a lot of people being like, I don't know who the fuck this guy is. Why is he so important? And a lot of people being like, this is a book guy.
thrilling if you were a person who read all the material and then saw that guy turn up.
That would have been cool. Yeah.
Oh, what a fucking moment that would have been for you. Because his entrance is fucking cool without knowing who he is.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So he tries to kill you. Fails, obviously. But, like, it gets away and you're like, well, whatever that was. And you have to keep fighting your way through the Citadel. Because then you get, as you're trying to go, how do we learn that something, like, because we know that something is up with Udina, because that's our message for getting here. But how do we get, what is it that gets us to the next part of that intrigue where it's like, Udina is, like, because what we find out is that Udina is maybe blocking our way to get to the council.
We get into, I'm not entirely sure, but we get into an elevator and then the elevator is like broken. So then we take a weird route because then Edie starts. Edie like hacks a little way in and then Bailey is forcing our elevator to go way faster than Kai Lang's elevator.
Before that, so that's before we get into the elevator shaft. That I want to talk about, because that's one of my favorite parts in any video game ever. That was so good. Before that, we get on comm messages from someone. And I'm so sorry. I don't remember who it is that's calming us about this.
I'm reading it here. It's before you get into the car to drive and follow Kai Lang. Yes. You speak to Bailey. Bailey then hits back and says that Udina is leading the council near a landing pad, which is where Kai Lang is also going. It is theorized that why is he leading them specifically here? Kai Lang is heading specifically here. Also, how is it's just like it's a lot of weird stuff which a lot of people bring into question of like, I don't understand how this is shaping up so perfectly.
Right, he's bringing the council directly into danger. And then we go, the elevators are down. Bailey is helping us, like, crack into them. And then, we decide to break into the elevator, but on the elevator shaft. Like, the elevator is stopped above the floor, so we're on top of the elevator, flying through darkness. And the assassin is on another elevator trying to get to us. And other elevators all around in here are filled with Cerberus. And so we are having one, we're trying to, as the elevator's flying up to the council's office or whatever, wherever they are, one, we're trying to take out the engine on the elevators that the assassin's on.
Yeah.
And we're then trying to fight off members of Cerberus who are on other elevators who are shooting at us on the top of our platform.
Mm.
And it's dark. And it's cool. And it's a very good little bit. It's only like a minute or two, like tops, but it's it's a very good sequence.
It's fun, yeah.
And then we get there and we get out there and we see the council, and the council is with Udina and Caden Alenko. Was it Ashley for you?
Ashley for me, yeah.
Man, I don't know what I would have done if this was Ashley instead of Caden Alenko.
Fascinating.
Crazy. Because Caden is like, all right, let's go. And I'm like, something's fucking, Udina is working with Cerberus. I found this out in comms, and I'm having
this
trouble.
This is mainly where, and this is also, just to hit on this point, Udina is working for Cerberus, working for the terrorist human first organization Cerberus, and has set up an attack on the Citadel to become the fucking god emperor of humanity and making it so that he's just so big and in charge. An absolutely insane twist for what has been a guy who I put in charge of the council at the beginning. Like in Mass Effect 1, I put him in charge instead of Anderson. A guy who has been very pro-humanity, but seemingly just bureaucratic. He's been a little slimy this whole time, but nothing horrendous. Slimy,
but
turns out, fully, like, evil, fully evil fascist terrorist guy. Let's just get Cerberus in to execute every member of the council except for him. That
and
was the goal.
To put himself in power. So Caden pulls a gun on me.
Yep.
And I pull a gun on him right back. And I'm like, Caden, you fucking know me. I'm telling you the goddamned honest truth. Mm-hmm. Udina is trying to get the council killed. Caden doesn't believe me. I have to go through multiple steps to convince him to fucking back his shit down.
Yep.
He does eventually. And then Udina pulls a gun on me and I shoot and kill him.
Insane. Crazy. Yeah. So, pull a gun on Ashley. Ashley pulls a gun on me. Hey, Udina's working for Cerberus. You also worked for Cerberus. So, what's the difference? No, Ashley. Fucking listen to me. This guy is not good and he's going to kill and hurt people. She's like, you are working for Cerberus. You're indoctrinated by Reapers. I'm not moving. Udina pulls a gun on the Solarian. I shoot Ashley and then I shoot Udina.
I was hoping. I was hoping. I was like, I would have shot Ashley in a fucking second.
And she, when she's dying, is like, I hope the Reapers burn you. I hope, like, I'm excited for you to go to hell. I hope the Reapers win. You're a fucking monster. And I was like, he was working for Cerberus. Why didn't you believe me? And she was like, you also worked for Cerberus. And then dies. And then,
oh my God.
Fucking hell.
Do you know what?
Evil woman.
Classic fucking Democrat brain. Ashley, I'm sorry. Like you can't fucking think with nuance, babe. I'm so sorry, Ashley.
Crazy. Yeah, it was insane as well because it was truly like I was really trying to reason with her.
Yeah.
Udina pulls a gun on the Solarian and it's like this has to happen because otherwise he's going to start killing council members. So yeah, I shot Ashley and then you immediately shoot him. I read up. So this is actually a fun check. This has a lot of things from previous games influencing this decision.
Oh, if you easy. Oh,
if
yeah.
If you romance
you totally
them,
tell.
You get an extra boon to them calming down. If you cheated on them in Mass Effect 2, you get a lower rating. If you saved the council in Mass Effect 1, you get a boon. If you didn't, you get a minus. If Thane or Thane's son is here and present, there is like a higher chance that that they will put their weapons down because they are too fast and they immediately appear in front of Udina and then save the Solarian council member. If you are kind to Caden or Ashley during certain missions, then that's an up or a down.
Okay.
If you visit them in hospital whilst they're awake outside of the mission forced, then you get an up. If you admit...
Oh, I did visit him a couple of extra times.
I didn't visit Ashley at all. If you admit or apologize for cheating on them, then that gives you a little boon. If you visit them in hospital for a second time, you get a boon. If you lower your weapon, you get one.
I ask something? I didn't really date either of them. I did like kind of the beginning of Caden's romance, but we didn't
do
any
follow-through. That's just neutral zero.
Yeah. But I have heard from just things on the internet that it is like so easy to have be considered cheating on them. Like that it's something that happens to people a lot by accident, sort of like in Dragon Age Origins. It's really easy to trigger the double romance where somebody is like, hey, you have
to
choose.
Why aren't you dating me? And it's like,
like it's like, oh, I didn't realize I was dating either of you. So I kind of have heard that. I don't know if that's necessarily true because I didn't take that path.
Maybe so. I'm not entirely sure. But it's fun. So if you have a minus one or below, they simply can't be talked down. What's up?
Can you pause really quickly?
I will pause.
Because I have to pee so bad.
Okay, I'm going to get another drink.
Okay. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Dale.
Robin, I want to show off how strong and cool my original characters are, but I simply can't keep throwing my Hero Forge minis at people.
Well, have you heard that Hero Forge has just launched two new types of minifigures? One of them is a color acrylic keychain that's the same size as your Hero Forge standee.
Oh, so I could just, like, carry it around with me and not throw it at people? Oh, I'm looking right now at their website, and they also just launched 100% stainless steel minifigures, so I could totally feel like an old school dork when I'm playing my games.
Ah, and if you throw them, it'll have more impact.
Oh, I'm going to throw them everywhere.
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad. We do not advocate throwing any minifigures.
No, not at all. None.
But we do advocate visiting HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today.
And check back often because new content is added every single week.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you, and I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon.
Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
Hello, I've returned. It's just me. I have another... Jesus. I have another Dirty Shirley with a twist, but this time I've added a sour punch straw. So I'm drinking it fancy style. Can I talk to you about news that no one cares about? Wasn't able to do any Edge of Eternities pre-releases. I was going to do one today, actually, but I ended up not. I was also going to do one on Friday when we were originally going to record, but then evidently didn't. It's a shame. It's a good set. I really am excited about Edge of Eternities and that whole like sci-fi feel I love so much. The problem is that it released so soon after... the Final Fantasy set released, which blows chunks for me because I, as everyone knows, spent so much money on the Final Fantasy set, and then a month later a sci-fi set released. Sucks. I truly, if it was flipped and it was Edge of Eternities, Final Fantasy, and then Tarkir or something, I would have gotten it immediately. But unfortunately, it wasn't that. I was talking about Magic the Gathering since you weren't here.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
I had to get in. My dime.
Okay, so, right, tons of different things
influence
this from previous games. Crazy.
If you have a -1 approval or lower, they cannot, under any circumstances, be talked down.
Sure.
Which is what happened with me. If you have a 0-3 thing, it checks your reputation. If your reputation is positive, then they will eventually lower the guns, which is what happened with you. If you have a 4 or higher, they will automatically side with you as soon as you walk through the door. As soon as you walk through the door, they lower the weapons. And they're like, oh shit, hi, and they believe everything you say.
Wow. What's the condition for that again?
4 approval or higher. It's because approval is like... Romance them, it's +2. Cheated on them, -1. Like, things like that. Like, it's so slim. Like, the chance, like...
It's very...
Your relationship
And Caden does not like my answers about my time in Cerberus, so that he wouldn't have...
That counts as being rude to them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fascinating. So, great. So you killed Ashley and Udina. I got... Caden to lower his weapon, and I shot Udina when he pulled a gun. But in the aftermath, Caden does talk to me back on the ship. Oh, because after all this, you're left on the Citadel and you get to like kind of wander around the repairing Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the council, first of all, is like, oh my God, thank you for saving our lives, genuinely. And notably, the Turian counselor comes up to me and is like, thank you for saving us. And also, thank you for brokering a deal that I never had the guts to do with the Krogan and the Turians.
Wow, fascinating.
And I was like, you're welcome.
Nice.
For that.
I like that.
Sorry,
this is a very, very minor thing. After this mission... Thane dies, regardless of what happens.
Fascinating. Okay.
But he doesn't die by being shot or stabbed or anything like that. He dies because of his terminal illness takes him after this mission. You find him in hospital, you say goodbye, and then he dies. It's upsetting.
He's not the only person that fucking dies.
yeah! Enough about this fucking frogman.
Look, no, I'm sad, but I guess because I didn't see him during this, I didn't get affected by it. But oh my God, our girl from Mass Effect 2 died for me.
Kaylee?
What's her full name?
Who? Kelly Chambers?
Kelly Chambers. Kelly Chambers.
God. I still haven't spoken to Kelly Chambers in Mass Effect 3 yet.
I spoke to her and I was like, good work. Thank you for keep it up. Like, I spoke to her one of the times I visited the Citadel and I was like, no, thank you for keeping things up. Do you want to come back? And she was like, I'm too traumatized. And I was like, understand. You work
understand.
From here.
Yeah.
I overhear... This is not even a dialogue that, like, gets said directly to me. I overhear that Kelly Chambers was killed seconds into Cerberus arriving. They came up to her, said, are you Kelly Chambers? She said yes, and they pulled out a gun and shot her point blank in the head.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
My God.
That's fucking crazy.
Brutal.
That's fucking brutal.
I overhear that just walking around the Citadel.
This game pulls no punches. This game is the end of the galaxy.
It's the end of the galaxy.
It's just the most horrific. It's just punch after punch. It's so fucking horrific.
It's horrific. Yeah. So now we're walking around the Citadel. The Citadel's in shambles, obviously. It's being, you know, there's a a whole area that's been made into one big camp, basically, for refugees and the injured.
Yeah.
But screens don't work. Stuff is broken everywhere. There's, like, some small little missions you get. Like, I got one where it was, like, the Medigel machines are broken. So,
just too,
like,
many
you
people
kind of
are
go
injured.
Around and fix
you,
them.
They can't even fabricate healing materials anymore. It's just, yeah, everything is broken. Damn.
Some of the things that you encounter while you're kind of walking around, I encounter a Solarian who's trying to report on the refugees, and so he asks me to take some pictures of the refugee situation because he's not allowed in. So mm-hmm. I get some pictures for him. I give that to him. I get some reputation for that. I talk to Caden. Caden is like, I was offered a gig to go join Hackett's team. And I'm yeah. like, fuck you. You need to be with us. We need you. You mm-hmm. are not meant for that job. You need to be with us. And he takes it.
So he's now crew member.
He's now on the Normandy.
He is also the last crewmate that you get.
Oh,
like
he
the
is.
Last squad member.
I haven't gotten as far as the next crew pick.
Which is crazy because she is dead because Ashley is dead for me. So, because she would be my last crewmate.
But so you can't get her.
Is dead. I can't get her. Like my yeah. crew, that my final squad is, nope, that's a lie. That's a lie. Next week we get one more, but that's it.
Oh, fascinating. Okay, yeah. Curious. Okay, so other things. I feel like there's other things. This is where I noticed that Barlavon is gone. He was probably allegedly gone before this because I had my things mixed up. I also encounter a lot more arguments between people about what we should do. There are people arguing about how we should, like, increase martial law during this time. And I have options to, like, side with different people and be like, and argue about that. There's somebody talking about, let's arm all the citizens. And somebody else being like, there's a Solarian being like, that's crazy. People are panicked and afraid and they're going to start shooting
each
other.
Yeah.
Bad. I go to the club and Joker is in there. Joker is like, hey, like, I know it's crazy because we have bigger things to worry about, but I kind of want to fuck Edie. And it might break my whole body to do so. And I'm like, hey, what else you got to lose? Like...
It's the end of the galaxy.
The world's
babe.
Fucking ending.
We're all fucked
if
up.
If we die tomorrow, are you going to regret fucking Edie or are you going to regret not fucking Edie? And he's like, point captain, all right. And then he goes dancing. And then I see him on the dance floor and he's like, I haven't broken any bones yet. And yeah. I'm like, crazy. Good. Let's see what else.
Guy. On the Normandy.
Yes.
No, you go.
Well, because then there's the traitor, the traitor that's in Medbay, the terrorist.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember his name, but I went to go talk to him, and there wasn't much to the conversation, but the thing about the conversation was he was like, just kill me, fuck you and all your kind, you're all gonna die, kill me anyway so I can yeah. rejoin my family or whatever. And I didn't really understand exactly what the game was trying to get me to choose, but I called for the nurse and the nurse was like, you need more time to heal, like you have to rest, and like sedated him.
I think he's indoctrinated.
I think so, too. I think that's the thing, because I didn't get renegade for that choice. So it didn't seem like I...
And people do get over being indoctrinated as well.
Right.
It's a thing that people heal from.
Yeah. So I think that was the thing. There are a lot of people being like, we should just kill him. Yeah. What else? I talked to another reporter, I want to say.
Yes, there's several reporters.
Yeah, I talked to another reporter who, this was a human reporter. What was her deal? Oh gosh, I forget.
You've done way more than me. I did the mission and then I stopped.
Everybody on the Citadel. I went to every place on the Citadel after the priority was done. Lots of different things. And then I went back to the ship and I talked to everybody on the ship. Mm-hmm. And everybody is weird. Everybody's being fucking weird on the ship. Robin! Everybody's being fucking weird to me.
What are you weird about?
Well, Inquisitor Llewellyn. what the fuck her actual name is.
Samantha Trainer.
Trainer, whatever. Comes up to my room and is like, wow, you have a shower in here? We don't have working showers in the girls' bathroom. So I was like, oh, just take a shower. And then she gets naked in my apartment. And then she's like, you want to fucking get in here? And I'm like, no. I'm just trying to be fucking nice. You fucking... You weirdo.
You are the Commander Shepard. People want to fuck you. That's just your life now.
That's just
you
my life.
You are the greatest hero in the galaxy. You just gotta own it sometimes. People are gonna be weird about you.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. There was that. Then we play a game of chess. Or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And then I also got an invite from... Freddie Prinze Jr. wanted to come and see me.
Yeah. James
he
Vega.
He comes up... And he's also like, hey, your bed looks really comfortable. And I'm like, will you shut the fuck up? he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Lola. And I'm like, all right. Everybody gross. Fucking move along. And then who else came up to visit? Oh, the reporter. The streamer, like, whatever, comes up to
yes,
do an interview.
Yeah.
She does an interview about everything. I really, like, stand by it. I give a very Paragon interview. I'm like, you know, like, she tries to ask a question that is maybe gonna call into question who's gonna take leadership without Udina. And if the council can be trusted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whether they can or not is irrelevant. Like, we are going to have more troubles with leadership right now. We need to
have someone there is what matters.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't have nearly as exciting of a time on the Normandy. I literally just overheard Garrus and Joker palling around with each other. They're just doing doing jokes back and forth. And it turns out that the Turian army and the Human Alliance have jokes specific. The Turians have jokes about Joker and the Alliance have jokes about specifically Garrus that they're like palling around with. It's very fun. It's like, why can a Turian always beat a Human Alliance member in hand-to-hand combat? Because their bones would break. And, why can you never tell if a Turian has had a rocket explode at the side of his face because it looks exactly the same and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're just sharing one-liners. It's very cute. I like it very much. When you get back to the Normandy after the Citadel, you go on call with Admiral Hackett, who has been a light character throughout this trilogy, and then turns out to be your fucking boy, your ace in the hole, the guy that's just doing everything whilst you're also doing everything. He talks about how building the Crucible is going very well. They're almost finished. The problem is that they don't know what the Crucible is going to do, full stop. Mm-hmm. And they don't know what the catalyst is, which is the power source to charge the Crucible. This is something that the Prothean plans don't have in them. They're just building a device that doesn't have a battery, and they don't even know what the device is going to do. But it's going, well, hey, maybe you can find that at some point on your adventures. And you're like, okay. And then Asari High Command contacts us and says that there are some... Oh, I don't know if... Asari High Command contacts us, and this might be a separate thing, but there are Cerberus scientists who are looking to be recruited. And I think this might be Trainer who brings this up. She's like, these are ex-Cerberus. They're not current Cerberus. Looking to be recruited because they're excited about the Crucible. The problem is they need to be broken out of Cerberus quarters. And you're like, okay, I guess. And then we get a call about Perseus Vale, which is the Quarian.
This is the
big start of Act 2.
This is the start to Act 2, essentially, it seems like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's big. It's exciting. And then that's us all caught up. That's what we've all caught up with.
That's it.
For
oh my God.
Next week, we have the Messana distress signal and Kalani Ardat, which I, in research, found out that these are the same mission. They are two parts of the same mission, and I messed this up. So what I'm doing, special little treat for the pair of us true gamers. We are pulling up Priority Perseus Vale to next week. So we are doing Messana Distress Signal and Priority Perseus Vale.
Yes.
Is what we're doing. Because before we were going to do Messana Distress Signal, Kalani Ardat, the Omega DLC, and then Perseus Vale afterwards, we're pulling Perseus Vale way forward.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good to know.
But it's Mass Effect, baby. How are you feeling about it?
Oh, this, it's just like, it's not slowing down in any way. Like, it's
just
like, what I've said before in previous episodes is that, like, this game does feel like the appropriate amount of escalation for what the game is presenting is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, In a way that, say, like, I definitely don't think that, like, Veil Guard executed this, but that's kind of unfair because I don't think Veil Guard executed pretty much anything well. But, like, even, like, Inquisition, which I think the design failure there was that it was a little bit too open world to really make the threat that, and how big the threat
consistent.
Purported to be feel like it was as looming as it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of like failed in that way. This game is really executing that well. I feel like everything
is consistently happening. Yeah.
Yeah. And is so major I feel the escalation in the room with me.
Truly.
Like, in such a big way. And I feel that also, like, in the sequence of games. So, like, from 1 to 3 and also within 3, I feel like everything is escalating in a way that makes narrative sense in a really strong and emotional way.
Absolutely. The thing that I love about 3 is, it's a thing that has been proven this week. You stop a boulder from steamrolling and you know, going out of control. And you stop it, and you're like, oh my god, thank fuck. And then you look over, and you see that actually what you should have been focusing on is a different boulder that's also rolling toward the same village that you just saved the previous boulder from. Because it's like, you stop the genophage. You help do all that. You have a sigh of fresh air, like, and you're just like, thank God, we've done it. And then you go back to the Citadel, hoping for a calm time. Oh my God, Cerberus is attacking the Citadel. What do you mean? Oh my God, one of our lead allies from Mass Effect 1 teamed up with Cerberus, the indoctrinated Reaper villains, that we have talked to him about being, like, we've told him, hey, do you know that Cerberus are, like, fully indoctrinated and evil? And he still teams up with them just for, like, a go-ahead, and you're like, oh my God. And, like, there's no way to stop the doom that is happening to us. All you're doing is winning seconds in war that will last hundreds of years. And it's brutal.
God.
And it's great. It's just the best shit ever.
Fucking good game. It's a fucking good game.
Yeah. And I'm really excited for next week.
I'm really excited for next week.
We're starting this is what Act 2 is. Act 2 is the Quarians and the Geth storyline that's been going on since
I was really excited when they were like, oh, the Quarians are willing to talk, and I was like, are they?
Here we go, baby.
Are they, baby?
Yeah. No, it's great. I'm stoked as beans for it.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Anyway, yeah, there you go.
I have a pitch for you.
I also have a pitch, because I think we have the same pitch.
We have the same pitch, probably. I know we have a lot of game to play in a short kind of week because we have to go to Gen Con in a couple of days.
We do, yes.
So I know that we kind of have to, like, play and record in a kind of short turnaround. So good luck with that.
Oh. I don't need luck. I have ammo.
Was that what you were thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. Okay, I was going to switch it and be like, I don't need luck, I have podcasts. And I was like, no, I just need to go with
that. No, I don't need luck, I have ammo is so perfect. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.